Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Richard, you gave it away yesterday that we were going to talk about, we were going to round out the week talking about depression a little bit more.
You gave it away.
No, not it. It's too late.
If you go back and look at the tape, you'll see that moment.
First of all, see, this is what happens. First of all, you can't look at the tape. You can only listen to it, first of all.
No, you can't.
Second of all, how are you going to look at it?
Okay, go ahead.
How are you going to look at the audio?
Okay, keep going.
Folks, I wish that there was something I could do about some of this.
Even if we listen to it, there's a point at which you give it away.
We'll
go through.
We will agree that you're wrong. So what we'll do now, though, is we'll talk about something else that we missed.
This is like being at home. Even when you're right, you're wrong.
That's right. We're going to talk about something we missed.
Which is?
Last Friday, March 17th.
Oh, yes, we did.
March 17th was World Sleep Day.
There was something else going on that day that got... Oh, St. Patrick's Day. That's why we missed it.
Is that why we missed it? I wasn't celebrating St. Patrick's
you
Day.
You had a green shirt on.
Did I?
You did.
Okay.
And that's why we missed it, because St. Patrick's Day became the topic of discussion. And so we missed this more important day, because March 17th, last Friday, was also...
World Sleep Day.
World Sleep Day.
Yeah.
And the significance of that is?
That the world is celebrating the importance of sleep.
We need to take sleep more seriously.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
We tend to be sleep deprived.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not good for anybody. Students at all grade levels are sleep deprived.
Right.
Okay? And this accelerated curriculum and the accelerated rush to hurry these kids along, whether it's athletics or school, is also creating sleep deprivation.
Right.
Workers are sleep deprived.
I was going to say, it's not just kids. It's we adults as well.
That's right.
We're
underestimating the effects of sleep deprivation.
Right, and that's, right. And this, we're going to draw some stuff from this, an article from the website metro.co.uk.
Right. And another one's from the United Kingdom.
Yes, and in this article, they talk about, and you don't really, I think that we intuitively know some of these things, but they really put some numbers to it, like the fact that over two-thirds of people with mental illness suffer from sleep problems.
And you wonder which came first.
Right. We were talking about the chicken or the egg.
It's a chicken and egg problem. Mm-hmm. You know, are people who are depressed, are they less active because they're depressed? Are they depressed because they're less active?
Mm-hmm.
I had a patient the other day, you know, I mentioned it in our last podcast, that he said when he's more active, he has fewer symptoms.
Right.
Okay. And it's the same with sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which came first?
Right.
Because we know that poor sleep is associated with depression.
Right.
We usually think of it as if you're depressed, you don't sleep well.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's the opposite.
It could be the opposite. Mm-hmm. And so we're just going to spend just a little bit of time today
re-emphasizing,
we've talked about it before, the importance of sleep. And again, if we think about some of these podcasts that we've done over the last few weeks, we've talked about diet, the diet that was proven through research to improve depressive symptoms. We talked about the article that reviewed studies that demonstrated that being active and engaged in activities will improve depressive symptoms. We've talked about how managing the way that you think about things improves depressive symptoms.
Metacognitive therapy
improves. And today we're just going to round that out with sleep. Because when we sleep well, our mood improves.
That's right. That's right. You know, we often talk about babies. You know, we say a tired baby is a cranky baby.
Right.
Okay. A tired adult is a cranky adult.
Usually.
You know, I think they're the same, you know.
Did you sleep well last night? See?
So I think it's the same.
See?
I think that a cranky adult
probably
isn't sleeping very well.
I agree. And of course, insomnia is the most common way that we see sleep problems. But sleeping too much is a problem as well.
Right.
So we have to keep that in mind.
This is another writing, Little Red Riding. Who was that?
This is great. You need to get some sleep. It's Goldilocks.
Goldilocks.
But
just the right amount.
Just the right amount.
Too much sleep? Yes, too little sleep?
That's right.
But it also has to be restorative sleep.
Right.
So it can't be too much, too little, or not restorative. You're not getting a good night's sleep. You might sleep 8 hours, but not be refreshed.
Right. And any of you who have sleep apnea knows what that's like. Mm. Because you may technically be asleep, you know, put it in quotes, for 8 hours, but your body wasn't really resting asleep for 8 hours.
No, your brain
was up and right. You didn't go through all the different stages, and so there's five stages of sleep, and I don't know if most people know that.
I don't think that they do.
Right. The first two stages of sleep are that first when you first go to sleep, it's very very light sleep. Mm-hmm. If you wake up during that. Those stages, you wake up, you're generally not groggy, you're able to get up and get going. Right. The third and fourth stages is the really deep, deep sleep.
And if you get awakened in a deep sleep,
you're cranky.
Ooh.
That's why, that's where it comes from, you know, waking a sleeping bear. Mm-hmm. Because if the, you know, when the bear's hibernating, he's in that really deep sleep.
Right.
And that's when you don't want to wake them up because they're going to be really cranky.
Don't poke a sleeping bear.
That's right. Right. Now, the stage five is REM sleep. REM, rapid eye movement. Right. This is where you're dreaming. And when you're in REM sleep, your brain is functioning as though it's awake.
Right.
I mean, on neuroimaging, your brain looks like it's awake.
Right.
It's just that there's this little switch that turns on that doesn't let you move.
Right.
Doesn't let you act out. Now, sometimes
you do.
Sometimes that switch isn't completely
flipped. That's right. It doesn't flip completely.
And so that's where we walk in our sleep and we talk and move around and act out our dreams a little bit.
Somebody else.
Yeah. It's not good stuff. Right. But it's so fascinating because what happens is we were talking a little bit about sleep medications yesterday. Mm-hmm. Sleep medications are really good sometimes, but for most of us, they're not very good, especially not very good over a long period of time.
Right. Well, they
put you to sleep, but we get those really weird symptoms.
Right.
You know, we've heard of people who, you know, in their sleep, they will get up and eat.
Mm-hmm.
They'll go cook. We've even heard of stories where people will go driving while they're asleep. Right. You know, they because again, they're especially during that REM sleep, their brain really isn't. Mm-hmm. It doesn't turn off the motor areas, and so we act out what we're doing, what we're dreaming, and so they'll go get in the car and they'll go do stuff outside. It's really dangerous.
Substance abusers call that blacking out.
That's true.
And they do the same thing.
Right.
They're not conscious.
Right.
But they will get in their car and drive. They'll be awake. They'll go eat food. They'll go and buy food because they're hungry. And they have no recollection of it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. There have been reports, and it's been substantiated, of people who, you know, commit crimes while they're asleep.
Right.
And it's because sometimes of the side effects of some of the medications, or it's because of some type of sleep disorder or something. Right. So.
No, it's really, we don't fully understand the pathophysiology.
Right.
Yet. But it's fascinating, and these medications will put you to sleep, but that's not going to guarantee that you're going to have that five cycle sleep pattern all night that makes you feel better in the morning.
Right, and that cycle to get through all five stages takes a couple of hours.
Right,
and in fact, one of the reasons or one of the ways in which we came up with this idea of 8 hours is because. Yeah. If the cycles take about 2 hours, it takes about 2 hours to get through all five, and so you want to go through it three or four times a night, and so three or four times a night. So then
four times a night would be 8 hours.
8 hours, and so that's where a lot of that comes from. Mm-hmm. But the challenge that you have, and so this is just a little bit of a strategy that you can try. Right. You know, if you're the type of person that has a really difficult time getting up in the morning. It may be because of the time at which you are in your sleep cycle when you're trying to wake up with your alarm clock in the morning. Right. So if you find it very difficult to get up in the morning, maybe shifting your bedtime a little, like maybe 30 minutes earlier.
Right.
You may be able to shift it such that you are finishing that REM sleep or that deep sleep by the time your alarm clock goes off, right. and then you're in the lighter,
getting
the,
into that lighter the, stage,
right. one first stages one or two, mm-hmm. and it's going to be much much easier for you to wake up during that time.
Right, right.
So just that little adjustment may make a difference, and it has nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do necessarily with getting that extra 30 minutes. It just has right. to do with where you are in the sleep cycle.
It may be that, and you can do this with your children too. Mm-hmm. If you mm-hmm. have difficult, if children have a hard time getting up in the morning, go to bed a half hour earlier. Or maybe a half hour later. No,
right.
It, because it's not the amount of time that they're sleeping.
Right.
It's that we're trying to wake them when they're in that right. trough, in that deep trough, and it just, they don't want to get up then.
Yep. Okay? Some parents that I've talked to have really found it ironic
yeah.
to suggest, you know, they try to get their kid up, you know, they don't have to leave until 8 o'clock.
Right.
And it takes about 20 to 30 minutes for their kid to get ready in the morning, typically, if the mm-hmm. kid just does it and gets ready. But they have to start getting the child up at 7 o'clock, they say, because it takes so long for the child to right. get going in the morning.
Right.
And so one of my first recommendations is start waking him up at 7:30.
Wake him up at 7:30.
Because if you right. wake him up at 7:30, he may be through that sleep cycle,
right.
and he's going to be able to be fully,
right.
He's going to be able to wake easier. Mm-hmm. So then he's going to be able to stay awake
right.
not have to, 5 more minutes, none of that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's going to be, he's going to be able to get up and get ready and,
right.
you know, be more compliant and less irritable. And,
right. and of course, drugs and alcohol also yeah. affect this. You know,
well, hopefully your child isn't doing any of those things.
But if you're an adult,
oh, that's true.
Eating and drinking yeah. late at night
yeah.
will interfere with these sleep cycles.
Absolutely.
Okay, so be careful. You're really better off going to bed on an empty... Most of us are better off going to bed on an empty stomach.
Right.
With no alcohol.
Yeah.
Because both food and... Food is going to make you... It's going to energize you.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Which you don't want to do when you're sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And alcohol interferes with this sleep cycle.
Yeah,
as do drugs. Kids who are on medications... I don't know whether stimulants do it or not, but I know that antipsychotic medications and mm-hmm. mood stabilizers... will interfere with the sleep
right.
cycle,
mm-hmm.
and kids will get something called sleep inertia,
right.
which is even a longer time to wake up. So it
right.
may be mid-morning
yeah.
before they become fully conscious
right.
Because of the medication effect. So consider all these things as you try to do this. But if they're not complicating factors, moving right. your sleep 30 minutes might be the solution.
And maybe all you need to do.
Right, right.
Yeah, so, all right. Is that it?
Yeah, well,
that's it for this week.
More we could talk about, but
oh,
but again, sleep is one of these things. It's one of several modalities that we need to use when we're battling mood disorders.
Yep. So that's
an important one.
That rounds out mm-hmm. our discussion of things that you can do at home
right.
to help with your mood. You don't need medication. You don't necessarily mm-hmm. need a therapist or anything. You may want some support, and if you want to go talk to somebody, do it, because yeah. it helps, you know, to sometimes right. to get that stuff out. If you don't have anybody else in your life, especially to talk to, you know, definitely go in and see a therapist. But
do not suffer in silence.
Absolutely.
Please do not suffer
absolutely.
In silence. There's plenty of people to talk to. Before we leave this topic,
okay,
melatonin.
Yes.
Many people believe that melatonin is a soporific, that it puts you to sleep. No, no. Nay, nay.
What was that word you said?
Soporific. 20th century, 21st century.
That sounds like an 18th century word. Soporific.
Melatonin is not a sleeping pill.
Right.
It's not meant to put you to sleep like Ambien or,
correct.
You know,
right.
no-dose or one of the, what,
yeah.
the opposite of
no-dose. Yeah.
Melatonin regulates your sleep cycle.
It does.
Okay. So if you have a dysregulated sleep cycle,
mm-hmm.
and have you ever done that? Have you ever had a gone off your sleep cycle?
Yes.
It's hard to get it back.
Yes.
It takes a long time.
Yes.
I mean, it takes weeks or months
mm-hmm.
to re-regulate your sleep cycle. Melatonin will help with that.
Right.
So if you think you're having a sleep cycle problem, melatonin might be the solution.
Right. And you only use it temporarily. You don't
right.
have to
just
use
to
it all the time.
Just to get it back.
Yeah.
Right.
You just use it for a short time just to get back on that cycle, and then you can stop taking it again. Because once you're... Especially if you're sleeping okay,
right?
It's just
you're
there to
asleep.
To
right.
to get your. But you have to. We've talked about it before, but you have to make sure that the room is dark, and you have to make sure that, you know, all the other aspects of good sleep hygiene is present, because you know, if you take your melatonin but then you leave all the lights on and you're watching TV's
on and you had a couple of drinks and you ate,
it's not going to help all that much. So
it's not
going to
do much.
Yeah, you have to enjoy that other good sleep hygiene.
Right.
So, but okay,
very good.
Anything else? Any other things?
I'm not
going to
take any more chances with you this morning.
All right, soporific.
Soporific.
I'll include a definition of that in the show notes. What does it mean?
It's a sleeping pill.
All right.
Sleeping pills. Sometimes I'm a soporific.
Sleeping
pills. My daughter came to
one
of my
classes. Easier.
She said she fell asleep, so I was a soporific.
Okay. All right. See, now I know how to use it. You just wait. All right. So
I keep handing you these.
That's right. Okay. You're being very soporific. All right. So until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.